And peace be unto you from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First off, it was fantastic. Despite dwindling numbers of the people escaping here, just utterly fantastic. Thank you all so much. It was beautiful. One of the problems of being a parent is the fact that sometimes there's a misperception that the parent is smarter than the child. And I don't know if it's necessarily true. We acquire things, but I think it's more of the experience that we have that really leads us to understand life a little bit more fully than maybe a teenager would. So my advice to children today is when you wake up in the morning, always listen to the weather forecast. It's important. Now, you might not think it's so important around here because the weather is eerily the same from day to day, but there are exceptions. And it is important to know what the day might be bringing. When I was about 10 years old, we were at my grandparents' house for Thanksgiving. Now, my grandparents lived in a farmhouse. It wasn't very large. It had four bedrooms, but they were all fairly small. And when you added us all up in terms of my parents, my sister, my cousins, my aunts, and my uncles, and my grandparents, you crammed about 23 people into this little space. It was one of those experiences where you had the main table and then you had to have the kids' table. And so what would end up happening is with all the cooking that was going on in this very small kitchen, the entire house would heat up to an ungodly temperature. And so inevitably, if we could, we would leave, myself and some of my cousins. On this one particular Thanksgiving, it was a beautiful day when we drove there. It was about 50 degrees. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, beautiful sunshine. And so my cousin Tom and I decided as we escaped, we were going to take a walk. Now, this is in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, in an old coal mining area, lots of hills, lots of hollers and place like that. So we were wandering around, and we found ourselves lost on a road we had never been on before, but we had been traveling for about 3 miles, and it didn't seem wise to turn around and go back the other way, so we figured we'd keep going the way we were using our own internal compasses. Now, neither one of us looked at the forecast. So in the middle of this walk, on this beautiful fall day, the temperature plummeted 30 degrees. It started out with rain, and then it turned to sleet, and then to snow. As we walked along in our windbreakers, it got cold. It got really cold, and by the time we found our way back to the house, we had ruined Thanksgiving dinner. Not because we were late, but because both of us had become frostbitten. And so we had to go to the clinic in the town next there. They called the doctor into the town next to where we were so we could be treated for our frostbite. We thought we knew the way, but we didn't. We don't need to worry about the way anymore. We have GPS. GPS, gonna put you somewhere. You might not know where, but it'll get you there. GPS and cell phones really have torn away at two of the gifts that I have in terms of being able, A, to find my way back to a place I'd been before, and B, the cell phone thing, remembering phone numbers. I don't have to memorize phone numbers anymore. I just simply go down, find a name, hit a button, and it rings. And I have no idea. Honestly, I don't even know what my children's cell phone numbers are because I have their name. So I just push the button. And when it comes to traveling around, I really was gifted with this idea, or this, not an idea, but this whole thing of being able to find my way once I've been somewhere. I'll give you an example. Now, as growing up, I lived in a lot of different places. We moved about every 3 years. My first call was in the suburbs of Pittsburgh. Now, we had lived in the suburbs of Pittsburgh when I was from kindergarten through third grade. Actually, first, second, and in the middle of third grade. And so we were driving around, and I thought, well, we're close, so I'm going to go see the house. And so, some 30 years later, I drive right up to the front door of the house. In fact, with the exception of the first house, the house I was born in, which has been torn down, I have the ability to take you to exactly every house I've ever lived in. Because for whatever reason, I would pay attention. The kid who never paid attention would pay attention when we were driving around, and so I could find where I needed to go. I knew the way. Don't need a GPS. See, the problem with the GPS then is you become so enamored with what that little screen's telling you to do, you don't pay attention to what your surroundings are, and you don't see where you're going. You're just following that one little path to where it needs to be, and that path isn't always right. One time in New Jersey, I'm going down the Garden State Parkway. I'm going to from point A to point B. Point B, I know, is down south on the Garden State Parkway, and so I'm driving down there, and suddenly it tells me to get off of the parkway. And I thought to myself, well, this can't be right. But then I thought, well, this is a GPS. It's smarter than me. It must know a different way. And so it had me exit off the Garden State Parkway, run parallel to the parkway for 3/4 of a mile, and then get back onto the parkway to continue my journey. Jesus tells us that He is the way. Not a GPS, but the way of life. That we follow Jesus, we know the way. We know the way we're going. We know the way we're supposed to be going. But the problem is, we don't know where we're going, Thomas says. How can we know the way? Jesus says, follow me. Now, it has a little bit of a different kind of feel to it when you're talking about the whole understanding of this tangible presence of Jesus there with the disciples. Because there is a human being standing there. And so the disciples were used to this. I would guess for 3 years they would follow Jesus. Jesus would walk. There's his rear end. Go this way. There's Jesus. And so it's easy to know the way. We don't know where you're going, but we're going to follow you because this is where you're going, and we know how this all works. But how do we do that now today? How do we have that understanding of following Jesus, that presence within our lives? Because there isn't that person to follow. And yet Jesus still calls us to understand that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that we need to follow Him. Well, I think the following really comes from the expressions of faith that we use in terms of how we choose to live our lives. How we choose to be a brother and sister in Christ. How we choose to be able to wrap our lives around the things that we need to do to truly be a follower. To be one who's been blessed with the presence of Christ within our lives. You see, what we fail to understand from time to time is the fact that when those waters of baptism run down our head, we're given that promise of having the presence of God within our lives each and every day of our lives. There with us, leading us and guiding us. Always there. The thing we do sometimes is we turn away. We choose to ignore the fact of that presence within our lives. We choose to do the things that we want to do when we want to do them because we don't want to be told what to do, where to go, or how to live our lives. Because there are those moments that we're a little bit smarter than God. We might not think that, but we certainly live our lives like we believe it. Because we don't always do the things that we know we should do when we should be doing them. But nonetheless, God remains there telling us to follow. To follow that path that Christ has laid out for us, that path that Christ has laid out for us. To be able to move our lives and shape our lives in a way that we are ones who truly are disciples who follow Jesus, who do those things that Jesus calls us to do within our world. This is an example of that. Now, you may not understand why these are here. You may wonder what these things are. You may not be able to read the print if you're way in the back, but it says our Lenten Project Personal Care Kit Items. What we do to serve. An example of the things that we do to give. To be able to take our lives and shape them in a way where we live our lives out of service to others, where we do those things that Christ has done to the world in terms of giving of Himself to the people around us. The way. Following the way of Christ. Living our lives in that example of what God has set forth through us through His Son. The ministry of Jesus Christ over those 3 years that we have recorded in the Gospels is there for us to have an understanding of what God would intend us to do with our lives. The call we have to be able to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to cure those who are sick, to visit those who are in prison, to be able to see those who find themselves without homes have shelter, to be able to give of ourselves in a way where we reflect what Christ has done in the world. To follow His way. To follow His example of life when He was here. To understand as He understood that our lives are not simply ours to live. Our lives are ours to give. To give to the needs of the world. To give to the glory of God. To give to follow the way of Christ. And He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one. Comes to the Father except through me. So we follow. We follow not always knowing where we're going, but we follow. We follow to take on those tasks that have been laid before us, those opportunities for ministry, those opportunities for service. And when we follow, we do with the understanding that we will find our way to the Father. Because He is the way and the truth